Loveline, coast to coast.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Dixie Madison Bezler. Drew.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on?
Not gassy tonight, huh?
Not nearly like last night.
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling better.
That's good news for not only me, but the people, all the people
of
Culver City,
yeah.
At
yes.
least,
oh, yes.
And some of the outlying areas, maybe as far as Santa Monica. Guttermouth is our guest tonight. Mark Atkins, Jamie Nunn, and Derek Davis are all here from the band.
Yay.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you guys.
Pleasure.
Great to be here.
I don't think our paths have crossed with Guttermouth.
No,
have
no,
they?
I don't think so.
No, first time.
Have you guys seen us somewhere?
I've seen you at like remotes, you know.
Right.
Things like that.
Like
but,
some concert or
yeah,
something.
Exactly.
Right, but we never did meet, did we?
No. We heard you were staying at a Ramada once near us, maybe in Texas or something.
It's highly,
oh my
highly
God.
Possible.
That's the one with the fire drill in the middle of the night.
That always happens at
Oh, that one.
Yeah. That was a Ramada in Texas.
Yeah. Drew, tell everyone how cool I am with that fire drill.
Fire drill, 3 a.m. Prom night, remember?
Prom night. Yeah. We were doing a lecture in Texas.
And I heard the alarm go off, and it's, you know, evacuate the hotel immediately. And I thought, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm going to go out there, and Adam is not going to budge from his bed.
You're going to stand out
in
your pajama bottoms.
Pajamas, and they're going to set us back in after an hour. And the whole hotel emptied. No Adam.
Because you assume it's a drill. It's never an emergency.
Listen, no smoke, no fire.
That's right.
It happens to us all the time.
Yeah, you're special. There's some jack-off high schooler smacks the fire alarm on the way out at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You're woken up, then you're standing outside in your underpants like an idiot for an hour out in the Texas cold, and then you file back into your room.
They did that to us in London.
Really?
It's like the fire department shows up, and they clear out the entire hotel, shut down the elevators, and there's people on crutches hobbling down, you know, 10 flights of stairs. It's so cruel. So cruel. But, you know, that's the English people, so hey.
I actually did set a hotel on fire in England. So
it was an accident.
Well, my take on the whole fire thing is this. If I'm up, you know, three floors or higher, I'll get out. But if I'm where I comfortably think I can chuck a chair through the window and jump down onto the little lawn tree area there.
You're sleeping.
Then I'm hanging.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, because I always have that out.
You can throw the mattress out the window and you're good.
Yeah, laying on the mattress. That's good thinking.
Ooh, no, tie the sheets together, whatever you got to do.
Now it's the fourth floor. You've added another floor to your comfort zone.
I like, I don't know what's gotten, I guess we're going down this road, so let's just keep going. I like the idea of preparing for these things. Like once in a while you go into one of these stores like Sharper Image or even the Home Depot and you see like second story rope ladder in case there's a fire, get your family out. And there's stuff like that. And I go, yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that seems responsible. The other day I saw one. It was called the Life Hammer. This was a hammer that you were supposed to keep under your car seat.
Yeah.
And if your car turned over, you know, sort of Chappaquiddick style
in
the river, you could bust out the windshield with the Life Hammer.
Really?
Which was like, you know, $35. And I thought...
It was a chrome.
A normal hammer would
Wouldn't
work.
Just about any hammer work on a windshield?
Of course.
And number two, if I'm upside down in the car, I'm completely... I can't find the goddamn cigarette lighter in the car. At noon, high noon, when I'm sober. Forget drunk and upside down in a river.
Because you know you're going to be drunk if you're upside down in a river.
Absolutely. That's how you got there. Think of all the things you'd pull out from under that seat before you got to the Life Hammer. You'd end up just killing yourself with a Thomas guy.
There's a lot of brilliant consumers out there, though, buying them, I'm sure.
The Warped Tour is where you can find Guttermouth this summer. And you guys are on, that's nice. You got it laid out here, the 6th through the 21st. You know who's on with you during that
Everybody.
Stretch?
That's nice. Pennywise, right?
Your friends.
Oh, yes. Yes, Cole Flesh.
You guys know them, right?
Very well. He put me in a full Nelson the other night. First time I've seen him in a year, and he walks up behind me and puts me in a full Nelson.
Really?
Yeah, and threatened me.
Did he actually break your neck?
No, he didn't. I mean, I'm here, I'm walking. Yeah. I can still feel my legs, but...
It's because he loves you.
Yeah.
You know, the full and or half Nelson is something I experienced about 4 days a week from age 8 to age, you know, 23, and haven't seen it since.
It's still there.
It's kind of thing, though, you get a concentration of the full Nelson at a certain point of life, and then you don't see it too much after that.
That's right. It's a nicer form of the chokehold, you know?
Yeah, it's friendlier.
It's a little nicer.
I'm waiting for someone to come out with the quarter Nelson.
Yeah.
That's something I think I could hang with.
It's probably not very effective. So
yeah, but it's a way to a segue into the half Nelson, perhaps. And then of course full Nelson.
The land of conveniences.
All right,
it's right next to the convenience hammer or whatever that thing's called.
The life hammer. We will hear something off of Covered with Ants, which is Gutter Mouse's latest CD. And just
Came out
April 10th. Yeah, so it's just out. We'll hear something off that in a few minutes. First, we'll take some phone calls and speak to Kevin, who's 33. Kevin?
Yes, hi.
What's happening?
Nothing much. First of all, I just want to say you have the best job in the whole wide world.
Yeah, I do. This is this job?
Yeah, your job.
You're a good job.
Specifically, to be the funny guy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's good.
Adam, the
blah,
straight
blah, blah,
guy.
Blah, 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 blah. Adam.
Yeah, I know. So, anyway.
But, again, maybe he shouldn't be paid as much if it's such a nice...
Yeah, if it's easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, love the show. First-time caller. I wanted to ask Dr. Drew, and I haven't really heard from him so far tonight. I assume he's there.
I'm
Dr.
here.
Drew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Let me make a quick observation about Kevin. Yeah. Does he have a sort of sort of insulting way of approaching phone calls?
Yeah.
You're the
like,
funny
but
guy.
It's like sort of praise, but there's a little bit of Cirrus in it too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Just wanted to make sure you guys were picking that up. Go ahead there, Kevin.
This is my dream come true to be...
Here it goes. More. Keep it coming.
No.
He's an idiot.
All right, please, Drew. Go ahead, Kevin.
Anyway,
what's your question?
You get a lot of callers, specifically from guys that talk about wanting to have prolonged activity back when they only last a short bit of time.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, you guys never, or Dr. Drew, you never specifically mentioned benzocaine.
Actually, I did mention creams like that. There was recently an article out in the British Medical Journal that suggested you could use that followed by a condom. You leave it on for a little while.
Numbs
and
the
penis. That actually did show to prolong. I'd never seen a scientific study that showed that it actually worked.
But it
did work quite well.
I'm going to save a fortune on Coke. A fortune.
I was going to say.
Want a numb penis, though?
Well, if you're orgasming too fast and you want to deaden the sensation a little bit and add a few minutes to the lovemaking, then you'd want to numb it up.
But if you can't even feel it?
You step into the restroom and you toss one off before you...
That's what we've advocated on this show for many years, but it doesn't work for some guys.
They still look too quick.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin?
Thanks a lot.
All right
there, buddy.
Okay.
Good times. All right, let's talk to Rosa, who's 13.
Rosa? Yeah.
What's up?
Hey. Hi, Guttermouth.
Hey. Hello.
Rosa. I love you guys.
¿Qué pasó, Rosa?
Yeah. I have lately, for the past couple of months, I've been like I'd be doing something, and I'd go off wandering, like, having some kind of, like, a daydream, and, like, it'd sometimes be with, like, a guy, or the other time, like, it was, like, with a girl. And, like, I know I'm not, like, gay or anything, but I wanted to know, is it, like, some kind of a sign if I am or not?
No. No sign of anything.
Nothing?
Pretty much everyone gets a certain degree of bisexual feelings at your age. And some people are more prominent than others, and
I didn't.
Chicks do. Yeah.
It's all right for
girls. Are you like making fun of us now?
No.
It's just the fact, just the truth. And
no, it's just like if I'd be watching TV or something, whoever was on the screen or whatever, that's the person like I'd be with, and it, like kind of freaks me out.
Well, the only question that helps us determine whether or not these are healthy or sort of impulses that you're going to make sense of as you grow older. Were you ever sexually abused or anything like that, or physically abused?
Yeah, when I was about 8 or 9, it was with my mom's boss's husband.
He sexually abused you?
Yeah.
All right, so that tends to create a lot of confusion that stays with you going forward. So that may be where this is coming from right now. And some of that gets turned into, some of that trauma and that powerlessness gets turned into attraction and compulsivity and a lot of hypersexual kinds of feelings.
But it was a guy, right? And what happened to the guy?
I'm not sure. My mom doesn't work for him anymore, but, like, it happened more than once.
Oh, boy.
So.
Jesus Christ.
You ever had any therapy?
Did your mom find out about it?
I told her, but she really didn't do anything. Mm. She just said, oh, because I was friends with her daughter, and I would sleep over sometimes, and, like, that's when he would do that. But, I mean, when I told her, she really, she was scared, but she wouldn't let me go over there anymore.
Mm. Tell the cops.
Yeah, and I always, I can't imagine the huevos on an adult male who's screwing around with, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10-year-olds, you know? I mean, aren't you scared? How do you sleep at night? I mean, don't you think, I mean, forget morally. Let's just talk about the law. Aren't you scared the kid's just going to walk right home and go, guess what just happened?
That's pretty ugly.
I mean, every time the phone rings, aren't you freaking out that it's someone's mom or the cops or whatever?
Yeah, life's over right then.
Yeah, and you did tell, and still the phone never rang.
Well, he used to come by about, like, I think it was last year, the last time he came by. And every time he'd come, I would just, like, run into my closet because I didn't want him to, like, see me or, you know, like, give me some kind of look. I was, like, completely afraid. And I didn't, like, I had nothing to do with any guys or anything ever since then.
Wow. And did he ever tell you, like, threaten you, like, you know, don't tell or I'll hurt you
no,
or fire your mom?
No, whenever he did anything, like, he never said anything. He would just, like, I wouldn't even, like... Okay, when he would come in the room, I wouldn't, like, want him to know that I'm there, like, awake. So I just pretend I'm sleeping or whatever.
I really hope a huge potted plant lands on this guy's head when he's, like, taking a leak on the lawn Sunday morning.
The bigger the pot, the better.
I'd like it medium-sized because I don't want him to have an instantaneous death. You understand?
For a little while.
Yeah, I don't want him to get hit by, like, Skylab. Like, I want him to be more maimed, right? And, like, be in a coma for a few weeks in the hospital and then slowly deteriorate. My mattress as I come out of the Texas hotel? Or maybe I'll just whack him with that life hammer.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, ultimately, if I bought that thing, I'd end up getting beaten with it after a carjacking or something ironic. He was killed. How? With the life hammer. Davey?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Hey, this is a question for Guttermouth.
What's up, Davey?
Hey, are you guys going to do the West Coast for Warped Tour?
We're not, unfortunately. We're doing, like, the Midwest.
Woo! Bring your saddle.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Midwest stuff only. Chance we'll do San Diego, but not likely, unfortunately.
Oh, I got a question. Is it like I go to all these shows, and I love to put on, like, I like to paint my nails black and put on makeup.
Oh, God.
That's not normal.
You're gay. Drew, please. Go
ahead. Anyway, go on. That's interesting to me.
That's new. No one does that.
No, go on, Davey.
No.
Come on, Davey.
I know a guy named Russ and Davey that do that.
So what's your point, Davey?
No, I was just wondering about...
You looking for a date?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you paint your nails, and you want to know what?
I want to know, is that gay?
You heard what Drew said, didn't you?
That's not gay.
Drew's a professional.
No.
Not gay.
It used to be gay. I don't think it's gay anymore, and I think a lot of it is color selection.
Mm.
Black, that ain't gay. That's heroin.
It's heroin, yeah, absolutely. Right? That's heroin.
But there's certain shades that could be gay.
Yeah. Like what?
Pink.
Yeah.
Any shades of the rainbow.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turquoise.
Yeah. Mauve. Yeah. All the different names for pink. Jesse?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 19. What's up?
Oh, man, what's up, Guttermouth?
What's up, Jesse?
What's up?
Dude, it's all good, except for a couple things.
It hurts there, huh?
Yeah, well, let me tell you guys like this, man. I'm 19 years old, like you said before. I got my girlfriend pregnant. At the time, I knew her for a week, but I'll just get straight to the point before I get any ridicule here.
Mm. You've got plenty coming already.
Okay, well, I'll just wait for that then. Well, I walked to Texas to be with her and my daughter.
Walked from where?
Walked from Seattle, Washington.
I don't believe you.
No, that's a long walk.
You didn't hitchhike at all?
Well, yeah, of course I got some hitchhike. You know, I got some rides and stuff, but I mean, basically most of the time was spent was walking.
And that was just to clear your head, I assume.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, the point is, Seattle to Texas.
Yeah.
It's about 1,500 miles.
Yeah, easily.
It took me just a solid week, pretty much, to...
I'm surprised it didn't take you a month.
And
yeah. Walking fast.
You just started... I mean, my hat's off to him because I know he got some rides along the way and everything. But the point is when you left your front door and shut it behind you, you were on foot, right?
I was on foot.
Do you have a new pair of shoes?
No, just my skate shoes.
Damn. And you just, you know, made a right at the end of the driveway and just kept going.
Well, that's kind of amazing you say that, because that's exactly what I did. Made a right. And,
yeah, well, I was going to say down, but
right.
I decided to play the odds and go right or left.
Yeah. Well, basically, my girlfriend and my daughter, they moved down here because her parents are swell babysitters, being that she goes to school full time, and I would go to work full time. Mm. And, well, basically, I walked down here to be with them because I have undying love for them, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't even do this. And I get down here, and I hung out with a couple of her friends. You know, I started getting to know, you know, the crowd that, you know, our little family or whatever you want to call it. And I found out that she kissed on some dude named Sal, let it go. Things started getting a little heavier. We just had our three-year anniversary just on the 7th of this month, and she busted me in the mouth, dude, just to be straight up with you. I mean, shit started getting kind of bad. I mean, you know, I mean, I didn't have enough cash, you know, to take her out to dinner and buy her all these little rings and all that good stuff. And
I would assume you'd be loaded, all that money you saved on proper transportation.
No, I'm trying to keep a sober mind about
it. How much does he expect from a guy who walked from a different state, you know?
Man, that was just something I had to do, man.
What does Sal have to offer that you don't? I'm curious.
Well, I was in Washington at the time, you understand? And
well, Sal walked from Canada. So he's a little more committed to the relationship, I think.
And I play drums, and he's lead guitarist and singer, so I guess.
Oh, there you go.
Say
no more.
Whatever.
All right, so let's just backtrack here for just 1 second, pardon the pun. You have a child.
Yes, sir.
How old's the child?
She's 2 years old. Her name's Oceana.
And why did they leave Seattle?
They left Seattle because her parents moved here to Texas because they her mother's... Her mother's husband got a good job down here, and it was things were supposed to work out a little better financially for everybody.
Okay, but who cares?
That's the core issue.
She moved away from him.
She was done then.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Because he doesn't understand that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I can understand how that could seem like that, but I mean, it seemed like it'd be...
You're married?
We were willing to do this. I was willing to start a family, and I wanted to do this 100%.
Yeah, we know you did, but she moved to Texas. Yeah,
there's no doubt you're a committed guy, Jesse.
You got to take care of the kid, and then you got to walk back to Seattle.
Well, no, I can't leave my child.
I mean, whether you walk with her or not.
Well, I'm not walking.
You have that responsibility for the rest of your life now.
You're absolutely right.
But Jesse, she doesn't seem like she's really that into it.
Well, she is now, because when I found out about her kissing on this dude, she said it was because I wasn't there. Of course I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I was in Washington. I was getting ready to move down here, and I just wasn't there for her, so she got attention from this cat.
So why did she bust you in the mouth this time?
Well, she busted me in the mouth because, you know, I wasn't treating her right, I guess, because I wasn't able to take her out that night.
Hey, Jesse, this sounds like a lot of chaos.
A lot of stuff you're denying.
Let a nice family of raccoon raise this child so it has a chance instead of Forrest Gump and the Chaos thing, Queen. What's that?
The child is taken care of 100%, and she does not see any of this happen, mind you.
I know, she doesn't see it. She lives with the two assholes that perpetrate it on a nightly basis, but she doesn't physically see it.
She does not live with me.
Okay, good. She lives with the chaotic group that brought your wife or girlfriend into the world.
You're absolutely right.
That's right. Those two pieces of work.
Basically, what I'm trying to get at, I need to remedy this situation. My daughter does not deserve to live like this.
Okay, let me say something real fast, and we're going to hang up on you, Jesse.
Okay.
You're a very energetic 19-year-old guy and somewhat compulsive, too. Okay.
And grandiose.
You got to drop all that if you want to be a daddy. You got to humble yourself. You know what MC Hammer's like now? That's what you got to be like. You understand? You know the new MC Hammer, the one who talks about Jesus and who just wants to help and is grateful for Oprah giving him 5 minutes? That's the kind of guy you got to turn into. Not the old guy with the parachute pants and the jewelry.
Right.
You understand? Yeah. You got to humble yourself. You're daddy. You owe it to your child to get along with your girlfriend, to not fly off at the handle, to not circumnavigate the globe on foot.
Sure.
You understand?
Sure.
So you got to tell her you're sorry. Look her in the eye. She's got a lot of chaos in her. You tell her you guys have to quell the chaos on behalf of your child. And all right? I'm not listening to you anymore. You've got to be daddy now.
You should refer to him as MC from now on.
That's right.
MC Daddy?
The new MC Daddy. Not the old MC Daddy.
Walkabout.
All right. Yeah. The it's Jesus time. What? Not hammer time.
Coming to Jesus.
That's right. It's easy to find Jesus when you're not getting laid anymore, you know? Yeah, why not? All right, Guttermouth is our guest tonight. We'll take ourselves a little break, hear something off their CD, and do a lot more talking when we come back. That's why that kid is like Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Mark, Jamie, and Derek are all here from Guttermouth. Covered with Ants is the name of the CD. We're going to hear a cut off of that, and I think after this next call, what do you say there, Drew?
Yeah. Fair enough.
All right. Nathan?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, Nathan. Jeez, Nathan, what drugs are you doing?
Pot.
Just pot?
Yeah.
Hey, Nathan.
No acid or ecstasy or anything?
No.
Mushrooms?
Last week.
No. None of that. Just pot hit.
Yeah, Angel does. I can sure tell you're doing something, so.
Yeah. You can tell.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well.
Is that a THC
my
in it?
If I don't have pot in like a week or a week and a half, I'll get like these bad headaches or I'll get pissed off real easy.
Well, irritability and depression is part of the withdrawal syndrome from marijuana. And it can go for up to 6 months after you stop. And in fact, there's a very amazingly high incidence of people who will kill themselves during that period of time. It's sort of shocking. But
how long have you been smoking pot?
That's incredible.
About a year and a half.
Yeah, every day?
No, just the weekends. I don't do it Tuesday through Thursday.
Tuesday.
A pot smoking schedule.
The weekend goes Monday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, every weekend is Labor Day. It's great. Yeah.
So, again, it's this is clearly affecting you. We can hear it in you. We can tell that it's affecting you. And the fact that you have this irritability and mood disturbances when you try to stop is all part of that syndrome.
Well, now, so you want to quit, Nathan?
No, I'm not wanting to quit.
Oh, okay.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. Well, just, just want to check up on you, see how you're doing.
There's a good study that shows in 15-year-old males, shrinkage of the right front part of the brain. That's the part of the brain you're using during development for daily pot smokers. So
I had a couple friends that were told that were heavy, heavy pot smokers that were told, and they got testicular cancer, and they said someone was told them it was related to how much they were smoking. I don't know, but
that's not what I'm familiar with.
Two people I was told as years ago.
I might as well tell to Nathan. Though.
I'm open to it.
Yeah, when you hear that pot in their voice, I think that's when it's serious. Like, you better do something pronto. Straighten yourself out.
Yeah, well, when you're, 15 years old, then you can really, really hear it. Yeah, I mean, when you sound like Cheech and or Chong, at 15, it's bad.
Well, I just got done smoking a joint, so.
Mm. Oh, okay.
That's cool, then.
All right.
Oh, no, really?
All right there, Nathan. Well, listen, just for your sake and your future sake, why don't you see what you can do about ingesting less weed?
All right.
All right, buddy.
All
good
right.
times, buddy. All right. All right. It really, the thing about, you know how people who have really bad BO don't know it? People who are baked don't really know what how the world sees
them yeah.
or perceives them. Like, they just go, oh, man, I didn't get the gig. They go home and they're like, I wonder why I didn't get the job. Or I wonder why the teacher's always coming down on you. It's like everybody knows it, but they think it makes no difference, that it's undetectable, that the secret is safe with them.
They're probably bucking for legalization.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's hear ourselves a song from Guttermouth. How about it? This is off of the Covered with Ants CD, and this is called She's Got the Look.
She likes to read. I like TV. She's checking out my new machine.
Is that right?
There's my microphone. off of Covered with Ants. That's Guttermouth. We're all guys are cracking another beer. And we're explaining why alcoholism is good.
Mm-hmm.
Why pot smoking is bad. We're
simple.
No argument from Guttermouth.
Because it's legal.
Hey, we're 21 and over.
Jezebel?
Hi.
Hey, you're 16. Uh-oh. What's up with that voice?
What do you mean?
Are you crying?
You doing all right?
Yeah.
What are you calling about?
I'm kind of curious about if I ever ran away, what kind of trouble I'd get into with the law.
You want to gamble?
Did someone just come into the barn? What was that?
No, I just walked outside.
I see.
Gambling, yes or no?
We're thinking about gambling on your past, Jezebel.
Okay.
Would that be a good idea?
It's worth a shot.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that encouragement.
Or should we just go right to it?
All right. Stepdad?
No.
Abusive alcoholic dad?
No.
Who's abusing you?
My dad.
Didn't I just say abusive alcoholic dad?
Well, non-alcoholic abusive dad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't drink, huh?
No.
But yet abuses.
Yeah.
Kind of refreshing.
Because you said you wanted to leave, run away from home, right?
Yeah.
And kids that run away, the kids that intend to run away and stay away always are being abused in the home. Always.
Yeah.
And when did this all start?
When I was about 13.
Since you were 13?
Yeah.
What kind of abuse?
He's broken my toe, pinned me on the ground, pushed me over tables.
Oof.
Slammed me into walls.
Verbal abuse?
No, yeah, that too.
Physical. And what's your mom say about this?
She stands back and watches and says I deserve it.
Is she being abused too?
No.
You don't think so?
Not anymore.
She was by him? What's he do? Some form of construction?
He's a mechanic.
Even worse. One notch below construction. All right. Hey, Jezebel.
Yeah?
Yeah, running away is not a great plan because you're going to end up hooking and doing drugs and all that kind of stuff. How about calling Child Protective Services?
Already done that.
What did they do?
They took me away for 24 hours for psychiatric evaluation and said that what he did was discipline and not abuse.
Wow.
Really?
How do they determine the difference?
I don't know. The cops and all of them said that.
Oh, my God.
Well, what was... are you out of control?
No.
You're good daughter, good student, good everything?
I'm not a good student. People in my family aren't good students.
Yeah, the Corolla's got that, too.
We're Italian, too, so...
Yeah, we look like Jews, but we're dumb. It's great. It's a great combination.
Yeah, but, I'm not out of control or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, they think I am because I had sex with one guy, and I told them about it.
Mm. Why, you told your dad about it?
I told my mom.
Uh-oh. She told your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jezebel.
Yeah.
Do you think, and you say your dad's not an alcoholic?
No, he's not.
He doesn't do this after a few beers, huh?
No, he smokes.
Pot.
Yeah.
Smokes pot and he's abusive?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Seems like it'd mellow him out.
Is he on pain medicine or something like that?
No, my mom used to be, though.
Depression, irritability.
Oh, baby. Mm. Okay. Hey, Jezebel?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, and you can answer truthfully.
Okay.
If you stayed out of your dad's sights, out of his crosshairs, I mean, you just went to school in the morning and went to, drill team practice in the afternoon and then came home and went to your room and watched TV, do you think he'd beat on you?
Yeah.
He would?
Yeah.
He'd make up some excuse to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got to call Child Protective Services
again. Yeah, you got to get them back in. You've got to get them back in then.
Well, when I did that, they did absolutely nothing because I got the courage to do it when he tried stabbing me in the hand. And I got the courage to do it, and they didn't do anything about it. And then,
Jezebel, one thing we know is there's something missing from this story.
Yeah.
Something is missing.
Well, my dad told him I was crazy because I do a certain thing, and my dad says it's crazy what I do.
What do you do?
I zone out into old conversations I had with people.
So you dissociate.
I talk it out. I forget that I'm talking, but I'm thinking about it, but I'm actually talking out the conversation.
Drew does a lot of radio shows in that state.
So you talk to yourself. Yeah. And are you on medication?
No.
Are you supposed to be on medication?
I'm supposed, the psychiatrist I go to says I should be on it.
Why don't you start with following directions of the psychiatrist taking care of you?
Yeah,
tell
everything to your psychiatrist.
She will have an obligation to report this if indeed there's any evidence of any of this really going on.
Does he do it to your mom?
No. I was asked her about that.
At all.
He said he used to, and he doesn't anymore.
But if she's just
kicking back, watching it happen, it sounds like to me like she might have had that before and saying, no, this is the way it's going to be.
Probably
in the family for the rest
that's
of your
sort
life.
Of battered mom syndrome going on there.
Is there any means to get out of the house? Like,
there is something missing in this story.
There, you yes. know, the reason we're not saying get out tonight, stay at a friend's yeah. house, because yeah. there is pieces missing right. here. For mm-hmm. instance, we hear this a lot. And I'm not calling Jezebel a liar,
sure.
and I'm not saying that her father is not an abusive prick, but the truth is somewhere in between, because she should be on medication.
She's not taking that. That's a bad sign.
She's having conversations that took place in the eighth grade, and she's telling us that the child protective, you know, we get these stories like, oh, they came in, they said right. I was nuts and told my dad he was good and didn't do anything.
No, that's not the way. That's never happened.
Her father broke her toe and all that. Yeah.
Right. Normally, they come in and freak out more than they should, especially in this day and age when they're liable for a lot of this stuff. And you hear these horrible stories about the kid getting sent back to the house, getting chained to the radiator.
If it was that bad, he could start walking to Seattle.
That's right. When that toe heals, you start your journey to Seattle. No, talk to your psychiatrist, tell them everything, and do exactly what they tell you to do.
Follow directions.
All right. Lauren?
Hi. I just have a question. I have OCD,
mm-hmm.
and I was obsessed with a teacher at my school, and I am trying to get over it because all I have left is like the guilt. But then sometimes I still feel really compulsive to do something.
Like what?
Just like write her a letter. It was a she. I'm not gay, just so that you know.
No.
And what is the guilt about?
Just, I made her feel really uncomfortable at school, and I just feel really bad about it.
What kind of obsession did you have with your female teacher if you're not gay?
It wasn't sexual. It was...
Right.
Like, I could be cutting onions, and I want to know how she would cut onions.
Mm. And you see, you just became totally obsessed with this person, but just in a non-sexual way.
Yeah.
Did she know this was all going on?
Yeah.
How'd she find out?
The school found a letter that I wrote to a friend who knew, and they did, like, a full evaluation. And
you know, I just thought about something that's really one of the differences between men and women. Has there ever been somebody that a male was obsessed with that he did not want to bang the bejesus out of? You know what I mean? Like, does it exist in the annals of history that a man become very obsessed with another human being he did not want to have sex with?
No.
Or wouldn't have had sex with?
Well, like how girls can look at other girls and say, oh, she's pretty, and guys can't, you know? They're like, you must be gay.
Right, yeah. So, yeah. Well, we just say that. But, yeah.
But right. I'll start cleaning. But, like, I'll make sure it's absolutely spotless because that's the only way I can get it, like, out of my head.
It being her?
Teacher?
Writing a letter to her or...
I see. Something. All right. So
what
now
does she teach? What is this? What is your teacher? What's
cleaning.
Her subject?
Home ec, yeah.
Well, because I was going through a lot of hard times, and she, like, had this life that I wanted because I've always wanted to be an English teacher, and...
Sure.
She was an English teacher.
$33,000 a year in a K car. I mean,
summer's off though.
Four cats and a one bedroom in Sherman Oaks. I mean, you that's a life.
Do they throw in the K car?
Yeah, it's standard issue.
Okay.
All right, Lauren. But you're on your medication now, right?
I don't take any medication.
No. Oh. Well, shouldn't you have some of that for your obsessive compulsive disorder?
I don't remember the name of the kind of doctor is, but they've tried me on different medications, and it makes it worse. Huh.
Okay, so this is under control now or not?
Yeah.
Okay, and the teacher's still there, and you've talked?
No.
No.
She left the school, and I homeschool now, so...
Homeschool.
So what's the question?
So if I turn my obsession to something else, is that... okay.
Yeah, but studying.
Yeah.
What?
Studying.
Volunteering.
Yeah, good things.
It is?
Obsessive compulsive traits can be highly rewarded in our society if it's things like studying or volunteerism or sort of productive activities that are rewarded by our society, those obsessive preoccupations can be fine.
Okay.
But if it becomes uncomfortable, if it becomes difficult to do things, if it makes you unhappy, then it needs to be treated.
No, it's just like spare of the moment things.
Well,
you know what I mean?
If you can channel it, it'll be fine.
Okay.
All right. How's that homeschooling going, by the way?
It's okay. It's not something I would recommend.
I understand. And let me just...
Make new friends.
Is your mom your teacher?
No, I just meet a teacher once a week. I don't...
Once a week?
Yeah.
One day?
Mm. For an hour, yeah. It's kind of nice. I work during the week, so...
You put in an hour a week of school?
I did that.
Well,
in high school.
I do my schoolwork at home, but I just meet with the teacher.
You mean like a tutor?
Yeah, basically.
And just one-on-one?
Mm-hmm.
So do you still have to raise your hand if you have a question, or is it just pretty obvious? I mean, they just do the math.
My hand would be up the whole time, probably.
You're not pulling your hair out or anything like that?
Actually, and I had one other question.
Hey, hang on. Do you pull in the hair or the eyebrows or anything?
Oh, no.
Picking.
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's your other question?
I've heard you say stuff about, like, dads, you know, if they're not in your life, about older men. And I've always been attracted to older men. And, you know, some girls go for it, like, subconsciously, they want the control. And I know that that is what I want. Like, I don't want them to be a father at all, but, I mean, I do want them to take care of everything. Is that bad?
No.
That I know that I want that?
I mean, yes and no. We got to take a break. Well, you have a lot of questions, Lauren. Yeah. Ask your home teacher about that.
It's a little bit misplaced. There's a little to be need to be taken care of is not a relationship built on mutuality.
Well, listen, I want to be an ass, but you know, one question per call.
All right.
Really?
All right, take a break.
Mark, you did the homeschooling?
Yeah, it's garbage. It's worthless. I did it for one semester.
Really?
And I was smart enough, thank God, to realize this is not, you know, I'm learning nothing. It was like reading Janet and Mark. Books.
And like PE and stuff, like just play softball alone?
No, you just tell them that you did it.
I see.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's garbage.
All right. We'll gutter mouth this here. See, homeschooling worked out for Mark. We'll take ourselves a little break. He's going to drink a little more.
Yeah.
Try to forget the homeschooling. And we'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-199.
Hi, this is John Favreau, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Drew loves John Favreau.
What's he doing these days?
I don't know, Drew.
He continues to light up the
air. Like John Favreau. I don't know what you got against the guy. Mark, Jamie, and Derek are all here from Cuttermouth. I was just thinking, what was John Favreau up to? I swear to God, like 2 days ago. I will not announce he's doing nothing because he'll do something huge the second I announce that. So, with Ants, I'm sorry, is the name of the CD.
Cuttermouth.
Yeah, it works. I got a kitchen that's that way right now, and you know what? My whole thing with Ants is mutual harmony.
Mm.
I don't even pretend to try to get rid of them.
You can't.
They're just there. Yeah. I do like what I do, and I think everyone else does, which is anytime I see a lone ant, I announce that it's a scout.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's because it's important as a human to have a strategy.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll see one anywhere, and I'll go, oh, yeah, he's a scout. He's out scouting.
Do you crush it instantly?
I usually do. I think it's to rationalize, you know, the scouting thing is the way I rationalize crushing it. It's like, I'd like to let you go, but you'll talk.
Right.
You know, that's what happened to the Lindbergh baby, I think, or everyone who got kidnapped after that. It's like, you got to kill them. They'll go. They'll talk. Yeah. So I had to crush the scout, but then I think the other ones come to sort of avenge the scout's death. So it ends up backfiring on me. You know the thing about ants, too, I can't figure out is they go right past the obvious sometime and off to the weird stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pass the popsicle and go for the toilet.
There's a popsicle that's melting on the counter. They go right around that thing, and they're heading into the sink for something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what's up with that?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all in a line, and I know where they end up. I never know where they start.
Nah.
They're coming from something. It's under the microwave, but I don't know where. They're just coming out. And they're going, and you know, you put those bait traps down and stuff.
Worthless.
And yeah, that's
worthless.
Comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're laughing their ass off.
Heard
right around
the Chinese chalk.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Does that work?
Oh.
But what do you do?
You just draw a chalk line down. You won't never see any more ants in your kitchen. That's it.
That's like the battle line.
Yeah.
It's drawn.
It's nuts. This stuff must be so toxic.
No.
It's good for if you have children around.
You see that at the campgrounds. People put that powder all the way around their little tent.
Really?
Outline the scout's body after you crush it?
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? But if it's in the...
Only,
you see, it's not going to work. It's already in my kitchen, you know?
They disappear. You put that chalk down, these ants
run. They don't just go around the chalk?
No, they take off. It's bizarre.
You got to go to Chinatown.
You ever seen Ant-Man?
Yeah, and it's all. It looks like it's right from China. Yeah, you know, it's got to be something.
Yeah, ants are always running. Really? Do I got to go to Chinatown and get that?
Ask for the chalk.
It's probably at the swap meet
in Chinatown.
All right, I'll go down there and ask for that. Now, do I call it? What do I call it?
The chalk.
The chalk. It's going to work. You got the chalk. Your chalk. Yeah, chalk. Chalk.
Probably get it at a pharmacy, too.
Chow.
All right. Someone's going to have to find this
you
for
can talk.
Me.
You can chalk now.
You chalk now.
you chalk now, Charlie.
You pay now.
Amber?
Yeah?
What's going on, Amber? What's up?
Well, every time me and my boyfriend have sex, he says that it's too rough for him, but I can't get off if we don't do it that way.
Here's the irony. Amber's 14.
Oh, boy. How old is he?
He's 17.
Mm-mm. What's going on with you, baby? Life going okay for you?
It's all right. I'll survive.
Really?
I think sometimes people like this, my theory is that they've been so badly traumatized that they sort of burned out their arousal systems. In order to get aroused and have an experience, they have to super stimulate themselves.
Right.
Because it's been so sort of, let's call it burned out right. by a traumatic experience.
As opposed to me at 14 who was whacking off to a picture on a raft box. I was so easily stimulated, you know. Jesus Christ, a two-piecer. Two-piece bathing suit.
She almost looks like Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, you close one eye. She looks like Cheryl Teagues. This is great. Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah. Kurt's got a color TV at his dad's house. You ever seen a color TV? It's great. It's got four channels.
She said ginger.
Yeah.
Even Marianne's looking good.
Amber, have you been abused or anything?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, my uncle, he used to, he would be tickling me or whatever, and just all of a sudden, there his hands were, like, in my pants.
And you ever report this to anyone or anything like that?
Well, I told my mom, like, just a little while ago, and she told me that it's my fault that I didn't tell anyone because now some other little girl is going to get raped.
Oh, that's nice. That makes you feel good. But listen, usually, though, my experience with the kind of thing you're complaining about where you can't get stimulated by sort of normal sex is a physical abuse. Did anybody hit you or anything like that when you were growing up?
Well, pretty much my dad did, but only if I did something bad, like...
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Right. So he hit you.
Ugh. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Amber, listen, we got a real limited amount of time, so I'm going to try to cram a lot of information in your head, okay? You cannot get pregnant. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
You can't have kids for a good long time, because your life will go from bad to worse, and you will take someone with you. That's your child and part of society. Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you're going to have sex, and I know I'm not going to get you to stop, you got to use protection. Are you using protection?
No.
You have to. You have to. Amber, I know you don't think much of your life right now, and I know you've been to hell and back at 14 years old, and you just don't care, but you have to. You have to, because you need to buy yourself some time. You need to stay in school. You need to not get pregnant. You need to get some therapy. You need to feel better about yourself, and you can have a great life. You really can.
And not hurt somebody else, namely a kid.
If you're going to have sex, you got to go down to Planned Parenthood and get some protection. Understand?
Uh-huh.
Do you hear me?
And if you decide to use condoms, make sure you have that morning after pill around, because condoms fail.
Do not get pregnant, all right? All right, and you got to get some therapy.
Well, I'm in counseling now, but
good. Okay, excellent,
good,
group,
good, good. All right, let's go have some more beer, okay?
Right. Hey. You need more?
We'll be back with Gutter Mouth. Back in a minute. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Mark, Jamie, and Derek are all here from Gutter Mouth. Covered with Ants is the name of the CD. We'll hear something else off of that CD, which is just out on Tuesday.
So buy it.
It is in record stores as we speak, and you can probably get it through all that .com stuff on the internet, right?
Napster, whatever.
Sure. Let's take a question for the band. Alan?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
I was just wondering, first of all, Adam, I got to say that you're doing a really good job on the man show.
Oh, thank you. Turn your radio down, though, please.
Do you ever get calls where they say, Adam, you're doing a really poor job?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Usually from family members. Yeah. But
Adam, you're not
kids
funny.
Enjoy it.
I find those refreshing, though.
Yeah, mix it up a little. A little salt
no
in with the sugar.
Because no one come out and say it.
Keeps you humble.
Sure.
Alan?
Yeah.
You back? You have a question for Guttermouth?
Yeah, I was wondering, I'm going to Texas for the summer, and I was wondering, when is there, are they having a show in Austin?
You bet, dude.
Yes.
We'll be there in
May 11th. May 11th.
That's right. Sweet.
It's my birthday.
They're hitting Houston,
bring
Dallas, San Antonio. Yeah, they're going to be around, Texas.
We'll see you at Emo's.
Yeah, I just, BJ.
Shut your friends up.
Friend name of BJ?
Yeah, my little brother, BJ.
Oh, gross. What, have him change his name quick.
Yes.
My real name is Brian. Don't call me Blowjob.
I see. Is he four?
Yeah.
He's 10, fourth grader.
He's got an older brother named Felcho.
Yeah. And I was going to say, Dr. Drew, you helped one of my friends out a couple months ago real well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he had a little problem, and he went to the doctor and got it all fixed up.
Cool.
Thanks,
all right,
Alan.
Thanks.
Okay.
So they'll see you on the 11th, right?
Yeah.
Come up and say hi.
I will.
All right. Good times, buddy. Bye-bye. Let's talk to Alan, who's another Alan, actually, who's 20. Alan?
Yeah.
What's up?
Got to say hi to Drew and my idol.
That's me?
And the band, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
My radio idol, that is.
Thank you.
And
thanks
also
for the clarification.
Before I get my question out, I want to request that I hear the John Popper jam with you guys.
Oh, the old John Popper jam.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... Well, there it is.
We can reenact it for you, maybe.
Haven't
how's
heard
it go?
That one in a long time.
Let me guess. Does it have a harmonica in it?
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah, I'm on... Drew's on bass. I'm on guitar here.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Hey, all right.
Takes a little Loveline blues.
I thought you played saxophone.
My name is Adam Carolla. I think I'm playing guitar in this one. And I like to talk on the radio.
Whoa.
A little impromptu jam with John Popper. That's you on the bass, right?
Yeah.
What kind of bass you play?
I play 64 jazz, I'm sure.
I can't remember what it was that night. It wasn't mine.
Sometimes you bring 60, sometimes 63, sometimes 65.
You got a 70s music man, of course, too. Who doesn't?
Yeah, I bet that's what it was.
Yeah,
it's hard to keep track. He keeps a full arsenal of basses in the back of the SUV.
Us being musicians as well, we always lose track of what instruments we play.
We don't know.
Yeah, especially Drew was pretty high.
Of course.
To be fair, when he jams.
Yeah.
Inspiration.
And anytime Drew's busting out the blues, he's a little... You know,
Alan.
Yeah.
What's your question?
All right. I have a friend. She's 21. Not my girlfriend. Just a friend, and she's anorexic and bulimic, kind of both at the same time.
Which is a common. They basically the same disorder, though. So.
Right. She hardly eats anything, and then when she does, she throws it up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times she'll call me up, like right when she got done throwing up, and I don't know what to say, what to do. Like,
what does she announce to you as you pick up the phone? Hey, guess what I just did?
Guess who heaved?
She'll call me and she'll be crying, and it's like obvious. Like, why are you crying? You know, like whatever.
Why do you ask that question in the first place since you know what the answer is?
Well,
why get into that?
I mean, she's crying. What are you going to say?
And what's up with the relationship? I know you're not dating her, but why not? Is someone interested in someone?
I've had a girlfriend for 2 years.
Do you think she likes you?
No.
Oh.
Why is she calling you crying after she throws up?
We've been really, really close friends for a long time. And
what started the relationship, the friendship?
We were both deadheads, and we just had that in common, and like, we already met her at school.
All right.
We've just always been talking about
just that. Prepare for the fact that she's probably into you, big time.
Well, she's not alone. I've thrown up at a dead concert.
but listen, you got to realize, Alan, I think she's into you. That she may not cop to it, but that's what's going on.
Do you think she's into you, Alan?
I don't know. Like, there's the thing, too. She was like, abused as a kid and stuff.
Mm.
She always attracts the bad guys. She's always going out with, like, guys that are going to be mean to her and stuff. And
All right. So what do you want to know?
Like, what's appropriate for me to say to her? Like even, like, on a common day, like, should I be asking her?
What kind of help is she getting? What kind of treatment is she getting?
She was getting, she was in a program for about a month where she was, like, an inpatient.
Mm-hmm.
She came out of that, and she was good for about 3 months.
Why didn't she follow up with an outpatient program, or follow up, at least?
I don't know. She sees a therapist once a week, but it's that's the thing.
Well, that's what you need to do. You either need to contact that therapist and find out specifically what you can do, or you need to just keep referring her back to the people that are taking care of her.
Well, is he really going to contact the
therapist? I'm just giving
his
options.
I got a therapist. I can't contact the guy. I don't know what his number is.
That's the options, okay?
Yeah.
But you can't really do anything else. You can be a good friend. You can listen. You can be available. Certainly, I wouldn't give too much back. I just listen and be available.
That's all I do now.
But set limits on that. You're not available 24/7. You're available a certain periods of time when you feel that you can be, and that's it. That's all you can do.
And I don't want to be cruel, but as you get older, you realize you can't save everybody.
No.
And people, here's the deal about friendship. It's not like you guys are friends, and then that's it. You know, this person can steal or have a, you know, do heroin or be a racist or try to kill you, but you're friends. You know, there's that thought when you're 19, 20, 21, that's a thought. And when you get a little bit older, you kind of realize, hey, you got to go back and forth here. I mean, if this person ain't holding up their end of the bargain.
You weed them out.
Yeah, you weed them out. And it's not that these people don't deserve help or that they don't need love or that you can't be compassionate toward people. But at a certain point,
You can't be compassionate.
Yeah, you can't just play nurse to everybody.
You set limits. And speaking of limit setting, these guys have a very interesting destination in June on their tour.
Which is?
Kamloops, British Columbia.
Oh, it's a real treat there, eh?
Yeah.
Kamloops.
Hey, Kamloops.
Hey, it's better than Saskatoon.
Oh.
Really? I've not been to Kamloops. Where is that?
It's in the middle of nowhere.
British Columbia.
Yeah, it's in BC, but...
Have you been there, Jerome?
No, but I mean, what a bizarre destination for a rock tour.
Yeah.
We hit all the hot spots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
it's, you know, it's Tampa, Atlanta, New York City, Kamloops.
Big punk movement there in Kamloops.
Sydney, London, Berlin,
it's got our mouth country over there. Are you kidding me?
We've covered that guy's topic on our
it's
our record.
The Bible
actually.
Belt there.
Kamloops. Yeah, so, no, almost. Yeah.
BC sounds okay to me.
BC's good.
I don't think I've been there, but it sounds good.
Stay away from Saskatchewan.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, I have heard stories about that. Why? Well,
Bible Belt?
Really?
Mark had a little incident there in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I wasn't asked. I was drug in handcuffs to a plane and said, get the hell out of our country. And
really?
Yeah.
Wow, what'd you do?
As you know, Jamie and I are stand-up comedians and magicians on the side, and we're doing a magic act before our performance where I would make my penis disappear.
Yeah, my penis come out of my pants. Somehow I knew that was happening.
Oh, come on. No. But I would actually make it disappear, and it was pretty fantastic and breathtaking, but some of the kids went
home. Cloud of smoke didn't work, and
told the mirrors
failed.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Kids told their parents. Parents called the cops. Cops came to our hotel. They arrested me. I sat in jail for days and days and days and days. Then they finally said, don't come back to our country.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's sort of a nice feather to have in your rock and roll cap, isn't it?
Well, I suppose, yeah.
In hindsight, yeah. At the time, the rest of the band had to spend a week in Saskatoon sitting in the $20 hotel waiting for him.
Yeah.
Five beds in one hotel.
It was pretty crazy.
You couldn't have found a lead singer in Saskatoon. I mean, you had a week.
And two of us had to drive the trucks all the way back to Vancouver from Canada for no reason.
Hey, you got McDonald's
in
prison.
Yeah, that's right. Fed us McDonald's.
Really?
Morning, noon, and night there.
Really? Well, it kind of, I mean, it's probably cheaper for them just to have one of the Mounties go through the drive-thru, right?
That's right. The RCMP was there.
You ate 100 Egg McMuffin
for breakfast, and you had coffee, and then you had, like, I'd say, like a quarter pounder for lunch, maybe a McRib for dinner.
No, you're so wrong. It was basically you'd have the Egg McMuffin coffee, then you go Happy Meal. Repeat performance.
Raw seal, blubber.
We didn't even dabble in filet fishes or anything.
Right next to the drunk native puking next to you.
He had a lot of Indian
mostly Indian country up there.
Oh, boy.
So I was locked up with a bunch of...
The native Canadians.
Native Canadians, yes.
Bad times. Yeah, that's a certain breed of cat, those Canadians.
I'm just curious. The Canadians take the same rap upon themselves for having settled the Indians' country.
They don't admit to it as much, but let me tell you, they did a number on them.
Oh yeah, I know they did. But they put them to war. They had them fight wars for them, but they don't take that guilt, do they?
I regard the Canadians as bloodthirsty savages myself.
Really? Do they?
Generalizing, of course.
Yeah.
You know, I had a bad time in customs when I was going to Montreal.
That's the worst.
Right? It is. You know. thing about Canada, though, is they get in under the radar most of the time, you know? They're not known as troublemakers. They're generally accepted. We love Michael J. Fox and Alan Thicke. And, of course... yeah.
Tom Green.
Tom Peter Green Jennings. And Peter Jennings. And, you know, they send over, like, a handful of, like, sort of ambassadors. Yeah. Yeah, here you go. Here's Bachman-Turner Overdrive. Right. Yeah, rock out. We're all great this way.
Lover boy.
Then you go, yeah, then you go across the border and you realize a whole different thing going on over there.
It's the worst border to cross out of everywhere.
Everywhere's the toughest.
We've smuggled, I mean... things into like Europe, any country, it's just a walk in the park. But Canada, forget it.
You know what Canada's a lot like? It's a lot like when some young Catholic boys they have the same priest and they all get molested by the priest, but none of them know it. But then one day they all sit down in a room and they start opening up and telling you got screwed in Canada too. Me too. I was scared to say anything.
All the bands know.
I was scared to be labeled and called nuts. Turns out, yeah.
Legal bribery, works there.
Emmanuel?
Yes?
You're 13?
Yes.
What's up?
Recently, like pus has come out with, like, blood.
Of where?
Talk to Drew.
Out of my penis.
I see. Bad times. Are you sexually active?
No.
No.
Pus came out with blood. And yes. Why haven't you had that looked into?
Well, it just happened today.
Okay, why don't you have that checked out? All right.
Okay, then.
Who should he go to?
A regular doctor.
Do you have a doctor?
Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm.
Did it happen when you were peeing?
No. It just, like, happened all of a sudden. See, like, a few minutes ago while I was holding.
Yeah.
Just spread it out.
It happened again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How do you know it was pus? How do you know it wasn't some semen?
Well, I don't know. It, like, smelled like semen. But it was like orange.
Did you get kicked in the balls or something?
Nuts.
No.
Did you? Was this after masturbating?
I had masturbated in the morning, but it happened like around school time, I think, because like I had to go to the restroom and my teacher wouldn't let me. And then when I came out, I had to go to the restroom, so I went. And when I burned it out, like hurt it all of a sudden.
Yeah, it hurt when you peed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay, something's going on. You've got an infection there. You got to get that checked out.
You know, I was just thinking about...
Not sexually active, though.
The teacher not letting him go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that you forget about as you become an adult. Like, where you got to ask, hey, Bob, I got to take a leak. Sorry.
You hold it.
Now's not the time. Yeah. Why don't we just push on through till lunch and then... No, it's like you get so used to asking someone if you can take a leak for like the first 18 years of your life.
It's like being in a Canadian prison.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Tonto, I'm going to take a leak over here. You okay with that or you need to vomit in
keep
there?
Keep your
again?
Eyes to yourself, eh?
Yeah. Tell you what, there's two fries in it for you if you keep an eye on the Happy Meal while I'm taking a leak.
And a loony.
And a loony. That's
keep Ironside Cody away from...
won't litter.
All right. Drew. Drew, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I've been having sex with my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she wants to give me a blowjob.
Yeah, you're not going to fall for that trick, are you? No way.
Oh, before I get to it...
To the blue.
To Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
You need to sock that black guy on your TV show.
Okay. Why?
Because he's annoying as hell.
Okay, Drew.
And to the group.
He's actually a pretty nice guy.
And to the group.
Yeah, yeah.
Your songs are awesome.
Thanks. Cool, thanks. Is there anyone we should sock?
Yeah.
We would love to.
Any minorities like them to smack around a little?
You did say sock, and that suck, right?
Good for us.
You could sock each other.
Oh, gross.
All right, Drew. Caller Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your question again?
Well, I've been having sex with my girlfriend, and I just feel discomfort when she wants to give me a blowjob.
What kind of discomfort?
I don't know. I just get real nervous and, you know.
And what are you afraid of?
Nothing.
Does she have braces?
No.
Hmm. Well, you're afraid of nothing, yet you get afraid.
Well, you know what I mean.
How's your penis?
I'm fine physically.
What's your fantasy that's going to happen that might make you afraid?
I don't know.
What's the worst thing that could happen when she puts that in your mouth? Her mouth.
I have no idea.
Are you circumcised?
No.
Oh, so you're a little freaked out about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think it's smelly or something?
I don't know. I mean,
all right. What is the worst thing? Just what the first thing that pops in your mind? What's the worst thing that can happen when she tries to do this?
Yeah, there you go. Big heave right on the belly.
Is that it?
I don't know. Maybe
just
get older and it'll turn you on.
Drew, can I go take a leak if you're going to keep going down this line of questions?
I'm
going to try it again. Keep going with me. I'll answer for him. Go ahead.
All right. What are you afraid of?
I don't know.
What are you afraid is going to happen?
I don't know.
What are you afraid might happen?
I don't know.
What's a fantasy you might...
I don't know.
What could possibly go wrong?
Don't know.
Well, guys can feel pretty vulnerable.
Don't care to speculate, no.
Okay. With a penis in somebody's mouth.
What's that?
Guys can feel pretty vulnerable, and they can be afraid that they're going to get swallowed up, going to get bitten, all kinds of funny little fantasies. Guys,
you got your fist right by the eardrum.
That's right.
Would you put it like in a piranha's... You know, I mean, I can where your fist is.
That's why you asked if she had braces.
Bring the safety hammer or the...
You need the hammer of life.
That'll set her straight.
What the hell I think that's it.
Help.
You start with that.
All right. Drew needs to give himself a nice washing so he feels extra comfortable down there and just go right on in. They don't make a deodorant for the penis and nutsack, but...
Adam, this is a man show line here.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sack deodorant.
Powder, sack.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, if you're going to give your pits a wipe, you certainly could give the underside of the sack a little love before you left that house.
Well, they found a trick. There's a good trick for that.
What is there? What do you use?
Baby wipes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's for tour for any of the band guys.
Nice. Nice. So,
summertime? They have disposable ones, too, that you can actually flush.
You always got to swab the deck, a few minutes later.
Swab the deck.
The baby wipes.
So you guys, you're playing in some pit in Louisiana in August, right?
Yeah.
You've sweated off 15 pounds up there on stage, and there's a couple of anxious groupies waiting by the bus. No time for a shower.
Baby wipes.
Yet who's going to deny them their love?
Ziploc bag in a backpack with baby wipes.
Pow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Fresh scent.
Nice.
But think of the man show, you have the wipes, the eau de toilette, the powder,
the
sack needs.
The baby wipes is a nice call.
Yeah, but you have to brand it, with Jimmy there with a big smile on his face.
No, this exists in the form of baby wipes. Yeah. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I like that.
But the extra strength gold
bond. Tangible. Gold
bond.
Well, that's gold
bond. It's like 1,000 finger massage
really?
On your balls.
But the gold
it's wonderful.
The gold bond.
We do it for fun.
That's for before you hit the stage, right?
Yeah,
you
just kind of exhilarating.
Well, wake me up.
Blood pumping.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
Do you have any here?
No,
I should pass it around the table.
I'm going to grab some of it. I'm going to grab that baby wipe too.
That's trick,
good. You know, I've told
we all have kids, so we know.
I've told this story before, but it really bears repeating. My man show partner Jimmy Kimmel got used to using some baby wipe type things that his wife had left around the house.
It has a couple uses because you can use it on the swab the deck. Situation, and then you can use it in that situation. You're just explaining.
But you were using it.
Like you want to freshen up.
He was using it to wipe his ass.
He was using it to wipe his, or he's using it to wipe his ass after he wiped his ass or something.
Yeah.
But the point is then his wife swapped that out for something that looked like it but was not it. These were the Mr. Clean wipes for wiping around the toilet and sink.
Clorox.
They had ammonia and Clorox in it.
Yes.
In a pine scent. He wiped his ass with those for a week and couldn't figure out where the pain was coming from.
Developing some fissures.
Yeah, right.
I get him free from the kernel.
Right.
That's where I get my
wipes. Right. Essentially what he's wiping his hands with. Moist towelettes. All right. We will, why don't we take ourselves a little break? Cut our mouth is here. We'll all wipe down and we'll be back with a song after this.
Loveline will be right back. So get your problems ready.
Yep, love line. I'm Adam Carolla. Look who's joined us. It's Guttermouth. Dr. Drew's over there. And the phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Mark, Jamie, and Derek are all here from Guttermouth. And Covered with Ants is the name of the CD. Drew sporting the Guttermouth cap, as am I.
You look great, Drew.
And we wear the swag. Believe you me. What's that? Hey, Anderson, can we turn all the mics on
there,
in here?
There we
is that
go.
Cool?
Hello.
Thanks, buddy.
I'm not a hat guy, am I?
You look right at home in that hat.
Really?
You do.
Now, you're not a hat guy, though.
No, it just doesn't... It feels good. I like wearing hats, but it just doesn't look right.
You know what you look like when you put the hat on?
T-ball coach.
that's pretty good.
I was going to say,
you know those kids that get that premature aging disease, that Yoda disease?
Ooh, yeah, I believe one of the
Maury Povich loves that.
Yeah, they're like 8 years old, but they look like they're 48.
Yeah, yeah.
And they take them to Disneyland.
You look like that.
Put a cap on them.
Forget it.
Yeah.
I think it looks great.
Yeah, take the glasses off, put the cap on, and really cultivate that premature aging.
What's that kid's name? Was Francie. It was the most highly publicized case of that. Francie.
Progeria, that's
Progeria?
Called. Progeria.
Progeria. Oh, boy. Is it really like you're aging?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
It's quite disturbing, too.
And the arteries and stuff. You see, the inside stuff is what really freaks those of us that are doctors out.
But
their arteries calcify. They look like they're 90 years old.
But they don't pass through all the stages.
No.
I mean, they don't go through puberty, right?
No.
I mean, they kind of like hop from being kids to being old men.
Yep.
Oh.
Short old man.
Yeah, bad times. Yeah, can they do anything about that?
Nothing I'm aware of.
No. Maury Povich does enjoy that, though, doesn't he?
Maury's great. He had an interesting case on the other day. This woman who was terrified of llamas, which was very unfortunate because...
Well, living in L.A., I mean, that's a backbreaker.
But
how do you get around?
Her dream was to become a zookeeper. The plot thickened there. It was very terrifying.
Oh, my God. Here you go. Have a hat. I got to get out of daytime.
Yeah, you do, Drew.
I mean...
That's who's beating you. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
The llama-phobic is kicking your ass at 10 a.m. with Maury. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Scared of llama. And by the way, could there be an easier animal to like than a llama?
Well, they can't spit at you, but,
spit.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Other than that, what are they going to do?
They seem like decent enough animals.
They're going to refuse to carry your pack up the next... leg of the hike.
Yeah. Yeah, screw you, you Sherpa.
Carry yourself.
I'll go nowhere. Carry your own tent. All right. We will take ourselves another call. Then we'll hear a Gutter Mouth song. William?
Yeah.
You're 23. What's up?
Well, me and my ex-girlfriend, we have a child together, and we broke up about a year ago. And she just came to me a couple weeks ago and said that she had herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Problem being is I just got the results from my semi-annual test. You know, I get every 6 months. So, and that came back negative, and all the ones in the past have come back negative.
You get a herpes test every 6 months?
I just get general because I'm kind of worried.
Military.
So what I understand.
They didn't test for herpes.
They don't test for herpes.
They don't?
No.
No.
Almost everybody's got it. Don't worry.
Yeah,
but it's a very difficult thing to diagnose with tests. The only thing you can do is do a viral culture when you have an outbreak. And if you haven't had an outbreak, it's a clinical diagnosis primarily. If you haven't had an outbreak, you just relax.
William, you get a full workup every 6 months?
I try to because
you're 23, William.
Relax. What are you looking for?
Well, what had happened was many years back, a stranger had taken advantage of me. So
a male,
really? Yes.
So now you're trying to sort of gain control by.
Well, now wait a minute. So you were sexually abused when you were a kid?
Raped.
Yeah. Well, why don't you get that treated? Looking for a physical.
Well, no, it's more so. It's not looking for anything. You know, it's just to make sure that nothing is wrong with me.
Yeah, but that's the point. That's a manifestation of the emotional condition you're in. Why don't you get that taken care of? That is what the trauma, the post traumatic stress, is what's going to be with you forever. Don't worry about the physical. You're 23. You're healthier than you're ever going to be in your whole life. You're preoccupying about that now. You're not going to.
Well, I'm not so much preoccupied, but when she said that, it kind of bugged me, and I have never noticed any sort of outbreak symptoms. So,
well, okay, let's get back to
the trauma,
the trauma, and the main point here, William, which is you probably don't have herpes.
Okay,
but if you did, it wouldn't have shown up on the general physical unless they were looking for it.
Okay.
But let's just say, for the sake of argument, so you can sleep tonight,
here
that
I
you
got
don't
it.
Have
yeah.
herpes. All right. But the sexual abuse, the rape, I mean, that's something you've got to deal with because
that's
it's
your,
affecting
that's
you.
That's your main health issue.
Well, I mean, it doesn't... It
All right,
really,
forget it.
Well, it's not so much of that. It really hasn't bugged me. It was, you know, because I've seen... I saw, like, two psychiatrists about it, and it wasn't until recently when I started, I'm a little more able to deal with it, you know, because...
Okay, but the point is it does affect your life because you're getting these physicals at age 23 and they're not necessary.
And there's,
but it's not as bad as it used to be because I could not be in the same room with a guy alone.
Yeah, but William, if I had talked to you 5 years ago, you'd be telling me the same thing. Oh, I can handle it. I don't need it.
Oh,
I'm fine.
No. 5 years ago, it was a mess.
Okay.
Did you see someone then?
Yes.
And what did
That's the whole reason I started seeing someone, because it got to the point where I couldn't even be around my friends.
And so how long did you stay with that therapist?
I was doing it up until about a year ago.
Okay.
All right. Just important that you guys
but
have agreement.
It may be time to get back in it. I mean, it couldn't hurt, as the old Jewish joke goes.
It's a bigger health issue.
My question about the herpes is, the fact that she brought it up, it sounds like, because the breakup was kind of nasty, and she still harbors feelings, she still gets jealous because I'm dating now, and I don't know, what I suspect is that she's doing it just so that, you know, it's just a reason that I pretty much would have to stay with her.
Yeah. I see.
Because it's not something that's curable. So.
No. William, let me tell you something. Your compass is off in life, okay? And it's probably because of what happened. And I know you got some therapy for it. And we're all sitting here listening to you. And we're telling you it's time to get a little more.
Okay.
The herpes thing is not a big issue. You don't have it, I'm sure. And if you do, you don't have to get back together with her.
Nor would you have to not ever see anyone else because...
Right.
5% of the population.
Happens all the time. So
At least. Maybe more. I use bigger numbers. Adam goes, oh, blah, blah. No way.
Well, can you get it from a toilet seat? Or a doorknob?
No.
Okay.
Unless you hump the bejesus out of the doorknob.
No, even then.
William?
Yeah.
But the emotional thing, that's something that's going to stick around.
We all hear that.
Okay.
Hear that piece.
All right. So take care of yourself, all right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
It sounds like entrapment. Girls try and trap. Not girls.
Well,
general, but
think about the kind of gal that would really want to get her claws into old Willie over here, you know? I mean, she probably had some issues. And William sounds like one of these guys who's a high IQ guy who got screwed with. He got his antenna bent early in life. And now you have this high IQ and this ability and this intellect. The problem is his receiver screwed up. And he's going through life. He's going to go through life this way.
Yeah.
And it's going to be from one medical problem to the next. He's got to get straightened out emotionally, and magically the medical side will go away, too.
And the only way to do that is through therapy.
I don't necessarily say that, but when you've been really traumatized, mm-hmm. like William has,
that's serious.
You're going to have to go through this
for the herpes. Give him a placebo, and he'll be fine.
That's right.
That's a walk in the park.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, you know what'll get rid of that herpes? A little gold bond and a baby wipe.
Good.
And the life hammer. If you really get a bad breakout, you take that
always
hammer
to the hammer.
All right, let's hear a little something from Guttermouth. You queued up there, Anderson. This is called "That's Life." There's a little Guttermouth off of Covered with Ants, out last Tuesday, that is, so it is on the shelves as we speak. Drew, you done lamenting about your very troubled daytime life?
Yes.
You ready to get on with the business of business, or whatever that bad cliche is?
Yes.
How's that?
Disease.
How's that one go?
Business is the business of America.
Right.
Yeah.
We're dealing with mainly bad business here, it seems like.
Right. A lot of screwballs calling the show tonight.
Let's take some fun.
I had it rough when I was a kid. I was out of parents divorced at 15. I was living out of the house at 16.
Wow,
next caller. I had to fend for myself.
Homeschool.
Yeah, I mean, but I've turned out, you know, on top of the world.
Oh yeah, it's all relative. It really is. But we could also find a lot of people are doing a hell of a lot better than you, too. To be honest.
Weren't
locked up in Canadian prisons.
Check those phone lines, see if you find
life experiences.
I chalk that up to experience. That makes me a more colorful person.
You're well-rounded. You can check that off the list.
Yeah.
Kiana?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I went to the doctor. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I went to the doctor, and I asked them if...
Is this Rosie Perez?
No, this is not Rosie Perez.
Okay.
Okay. I went to the doctor and I asked them, you know, while I'm breastfeeding, can I still smoke? And she told me, yes, the nicotine won't get to the baby. Well, then I wasn't satisfied with that, so I went to another doctor, and the doctor told me the same thing, but people keep coming to me telling me I shouldn't smoke. My mother, actually, telling me I shouldn't smoke.
There is some concern that, of course, there's always the secondhand smoke, Adam.
Well, you don't put the ashtray on the kid's head, right?
I won't smoke while I'm feeding her.
And there is concern about growing concern about nicotine, particularly in utero, like while you're pregnant, and some concern, my understanding is, during breastfeeding, because they're finding that nicotine can substantially change the blood flow to the brain that may change the brain development. So there is increasing concern about this.
But no papers that you've read on it, no
the breastfeeding
health scare.
Per se, with in utero, for sure, that's growing fast.
Let me ask you a nicotine related question. Because when you smoke, you get the charge of nicotine, right?
Yep.
And the nicotine enters your blood system.
Yep.
And then the nicotine dissipates, and you want another cigarette. Is that true?
And it's delicious.
Yeah.
And it's delicious. Drew, is that true?
That's true.
So, if she smoked herself a cigarette, and then 2 hours later, breastfed.
Yeah, it's short-lived.
Then the nicotine levels in her body would not be high enough, perceivably, to pass on to the child.
I believe that's true.
And it probably makes a difference. I mean, if you just get done smoking a cigarette and breastfeed, you're going to have nicotine, higher levels of nicotine in your blood, would you not?
Probably, but breast is sort of a stored entity for a while.
The boob.
Yeah.
It's like the garage of the body.
Right. Yeah, but if there was any risk, why would you take it at all?
Cobweb.
If there's any kind of a risk,
why would you even... Well, because she smokes, that's why.
Yeah, but get over it. You know, you got a kid to take care of.
Well, all right, I'm with her, and I agree, but I'm living in the real world. Her doctor said, gave you the thumbs up on that. And whenever you can get the docs to go along on the smoking, you know you got a good one, by the way. That's a keeper. You keep that doctor. All right, so why don't you give it I'll tell you what. Give it a couple. Don't do it for a couple hours after you smoke. And then, if the kid ends up and you got to hold him back a couple of grades or something, they got to easy out. You know, mom smoked? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
good times, baby. Sounds thrilled to be a mother.
Asking that question.
and by the way, any time, and we've talked about this before, you get held back in a grade or can't continue, explain that you're in Europe. you know what I'm saying?
For
like,
a year.
It sounds great. Like people go, wait a minute, you graduated high school at 21? And you go, oh, no. When I was 9... I went to Europe for a few, and all of a sudden you go from like retard to a super international superstar. Right, it's like oh, that must have been a great experience. It switches.
Yeah.
So go for the Europe thing. Well, my dad's German. We went back there for a year, and then when I came back, I had to retake the. You're cool. You're immediately cool.
Until your friends go to Europe Finish and discover that it's not that fantastic.
Yeah, and realize you never went there. All right, we will take a break. Got Her Mouth is here. We'll be back after this.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back. This is Crash McLarson of the Aquabats. You're listening to Love Line, and we promise not to kill you.
It's Love Line. And who was that? I just put my headphones on.
The Aquabats.
Oh, that's the Aquabats. Woo.
Wow. I remember that show.
Probably swimming than ever. Somewhere.
You know, the thing that was weird about the Aquabats, those of you who can't remember the Aquabats and know who they are, they're like Christian novelty. Well, they were what maybe Hudson Brothers were to us growing up. Or they're like novelty music, fun novelty music band. But what they didn't want people to know is that they were Mormon.
Right.
And so they came on the show, and they were pretty hot about 3 years ago or something. They had a video out and everything. And they came on the show, and they're like, we are the Aquabats. And so I'd go,
Join our cadet.
Right. Yeah. And it was sort of Devo meets Aquaman or something. And
Devo meets Space Ghost.
So I'd say, but okay, seriously, guys, what do you think of this question? I go, we don't know. We're the Aquabats. And I'd be like, okay, that's cool. All right. So we'd get like through
Swim
the first half hour of the show, and I'm like, Says, where are you guys from? Where are you from? Aquonia? It's like, okay, now we're an hour and a half into the show, and I'm like, all right, I get it, you assholes and Aquabats. Jesus Christ. You know,
from Utah.
They were like, they were caught in between the Aquabat persona and the bizarre religious right. cult that they're in, and had trouble, like, forming good answers for the show.
Were they stealing
show.
All the food and putting it in their silo?
No, for the second coming. Armageddon.
Week supply, month supply?
But I don't know.
I always love that. I would love to interview all the guys as they made their way back down from the mountain to beg for their jobs back. Huh. I'd like that gig. You know what I mean? Yeah. Remember when I told you to blow me 2 months ago, Vern? Yeah, over at the feed store. I need my gig back. Turns out we're full 8 months away from the Armageddon, and I got to make ends meet until then.
You got to keep non-perishables for Armageddon.
I bet on my chickens on the last Armageddon. It didn't happen.
Yeah. I'm all right with the concept of Armageddon. It's really just the prediction that bothers me.
It sounds like a great movie.
The when, huh?
It's going to be way too late when somebody gets it right.
Yeah. I figure when it hits, it'll be early. I'm figuring on being in bed. Just like a good earthquake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Hot weather.
Sort of a dark red sky.
You'll think it's a false alarm, though, Adam. You won't even get up for the Armageddon.
Yeah, unless I'm higher than the third floor, I ain't moving for the Armageddon.
Well, hopefully you'll have your life hammer.
Life hammer. Yeah. Hillary?
I wonder if they have those drills.
Life hammer?
In certain parts of our nation.
Armageddon survival kits?
Yeah. Hillary?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Yeah, well, first of all, I love you and... Drew, both very much.
And the other guy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have known about Plan B.
Great.
Good.
And,
outer space?
Really, really quickly, I'm getting depo on the 6th on Monday.
Yeah.
And most of my life I've been quite the menstrual overachiever, and I've heard a lot of girls don't bleed and some really do. Is there anything that...
Usually the first 3 months you bleed the whole time. And
like
then
spotting or like bleeding?
Sometimes pretty heavy bleeding.
Ugh.
And the next cycle you stop. You have no periods. Yeah.
Right on.
Well, I'm reading your question. It says you're bisexual.
Sort of. I identify as lesbian, but occasionally boys strike my fancy. Right now I'm dating a boy, and he's awesome. He lives up in Northern Washington.
I see. He identifies as a lesbian.
Yeah, I
like that. That's kind of cool code.
How old are you?
Declarative, yeah.
Well, it's like the whole bi thing.
19.
So trendy.
Bi is very late 90s.
Yeah, you're no bisexual.
Bi is so Monday.
Hillary's no, she's no bisexual. She's a full-blown lesbian with a boyfriend.
With a twist.
With a twist.
He'd be better. He tends to prefer boys, so, you know.
Oh, hey.
Does your dad, he's not hip to you being identifying as a lesbian?
He doesn't know.
I see.
Right, and he knows I have my boyfriend and everything, but he's like really, really homophobic, and I think he knows. You know, I think he's kind of on to my whole gig.
Why?
Well, just like stuff he says and stuff. Like, he'll make like homophobic comments, like, you know, like in a whole attitude, like I should be agreeing with him or something.
Where does your mom come down on this?
Oh, it gets better. My parents divorced a few years back, and my mom started dating women after that. So.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
You are together.
Yep.
Keep it in the family.
See what happens, Dad. All right.
Like, well, the other night we were talking at dinner, and he was saying something about it, and he's like, well, I think they're an abomination, don't you? Like, you better agree, you know?
What is your question for us?
Well, I'm just wondering. I came back home. I've been living on my own for the last year and a half, and I came back home to go to school because I want to go to school really bad. I got laid off from my job down in Oakland.
And the question is?
I really, really want to go to school, but I don't know how to deal with him doing this, and I can't live with my mom. She's in Central Oregon, so...
Right.
There's really
you can't live on campus?
Working as a golf pro.
The deal my parents made with me...
Walk to Texas.
Deal is...
Yeah.
They'll pay for school for the first 2 years. They'll pay for school if I go to community college for 2 years first, and so I can't go to a real school until I get
They're geniuses. Yeah, what is it, $6 a unit now?
Home school.
We can handle that.
But you couldn't get a job.
$80 a year, sure.
But I can't. I'm carrying 15 credits right now, and I can't work enough time.
All right. Hey, Hillary, wait a minute. you live with your dad. Mm-hmm. But just go along with his crap about the lesbian stuff for now. You got a boyfriend, so he's not going to know the difference, and everything's cool. And then you slap him with the lesbian thing when you get out of the house.
Keep your boyfriend's boyfriend away from dad.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's going to be
a simple difference of opinion. Not that big a deal.
That's going to be a great Thanksgiving over there.
Easter.
Hope, yeah. Better.
I hope.
Hello? Hope you're 14.
Yeah. Oh my God, Adam, you are like a freaking god to me. You
Thank
are like
you.
So hot.
Thank you.
And I met you at an Aquabats concert. It was like a K-Rock signing thing.
Oh my God, where is that?
I was like 12 Aquabat and you guys concert. Told me to go away.
Santa Monica.
Sounds about right.
Whatever.
I don't remember being at Aquabats concert. You're talking about like the Weenie Roast?
You're an Aquabats.
It was a K-Rock signing at a Blockbuster's Music in Santa Monica.
I think they were at there.
Oh, were they
calendar,
playing?
A calendar
oh.
signing.
It
was raining out, right, Hope?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Sorry.
I told you and Dr. Drew that I listened to the show and you guys, like, rule. And you're like, well, we don't like little kids, so go away.
I did not say that.
Yeah. Well, they're always right.
Dude, I was, like, all sad the rest of the day. I was like, oh, my God.
You know what, Hope? If I had my way, I'd hang up on you right now because we don't like little kids.
Well, yeah.
But I just want to say that Guttermouth, you guys rock. And I'm going to your concert on 420 for the record release.
Ow! 420.
And you know what that day is.
I know, that's like my favorite day.
But why is that? I thought it was Hitler's birthday. I didn't. That's what they told me.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Big Hitler fan?
No, not at all. Columbine. That's how I associate with Hitler's birthday.
All right. Hey, Hope?
It was all his birthday?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, come on. We don't got time for you now.
Oh, well.
We'll see you there. Thanks for calling.
Hey, we'll be there.
I just want to say that you guys rock, right?
Cool. Thanks,
you
rock
Hope.
Too, Hope.
Thank you, Hope.
I love you, Adam.
I love you, Hope.
All right, bye.
All right, take care. Drew, we didn't tell her to get lost.
No,
we don't like little kids.
No, that's not us.
I mean, it's kind of me, but not you at all.
Even you is not that ridiculous.
Get the hell away from me, Hope.
Thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191. Yep. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous week of Loveline.
Mm. Exciting as the last.
No different.
Yes, each.
The same. I want to thank Mark, Jamie, and Derek for coming out here, all from Guttermouth, covered with ants. Name of the CD. Go out and get that. It is out in the stores now. Guys, good luck on the Warped Tour and all the other dates. It was a pleasure meeting you.
You as well.
Had a good time with you cats tonight.
I think we helped a lot of people
anytime.
Tonight.
I think we did.
Yes.
It feels good. For once.
Let's take 50 more calls while we're waiting.
All right. let's do it hypothetically while we're in our cars. Yes.
We'll do it on Easter.
You're all guilty.
All right, yes. We will be here on Easter, goddammit. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
No, my testicles got ants on it.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.